The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back. As liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voices. They'll pretend to be patriots, fighting for fairness for all. But they're not even fit to hold office. What they believe doesn't fit with freedom at all. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, and ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back. As liberty weeps,
disturb the sound of silence. Full set
James in Vancouver still there, and Rodney wanted to have a couple words with James. So go ahead, James and Rodney.
Hi, James. Hello. Thanks for calling in.
Well, apparently we don't have either one of them.
Oh,
Mike.
Well, if he's still listening, I assume he is.
Yeah,
he'd welcome to call back. But I was curious if James and his. In his studies, apparently he's a very educated man, was aware that the French had attempted to do that. And although I can't name them in particular, there were other occasions in human history where they monkeyed with the degrees in a circle and tried to make something else work. Well, that was my question for James.
Yes. Hello?
Yeah, that sounds like James. Do I have to ask it again?
Right.
No, James is there. Rod,
French.
Yes.
A lot of that had to do with Napoleon. Napoleon's engineers. That's the way I would see that. Is Napoleon had a lot of ideas, and I have not delved into what the French tried to do, and I've only heard bits about the French Revolution. Wanting to change many things, and in some ways I think they did in terms of weights and measures. The kilogram, the metric system, I believe that's that came out of the French Revolution, but I'd be guessing on that. So, and as far as the French are concerned, myself being a commercial pilot, I would not want to fly an Airbus. That's my comment there.
Wow, you're a commercial pilot. Well, that's good to know. So you know all about navigation. So how?
A little bit. I got a lot. Yeah.
Well, tell me, James. I'm curious. How do you get along navigating this flat Earth?
Oh, on the flat Earth.
Yeah.
Well, I just don't go to the poles, and you'll be okay. But the minute you try to fly from one of the poles, north or south, then things get to be kind of weird. I'm a big believer in the Coriolis effect. So there you go.
Got another one for you. I know of a local company here that actually travels the country repainting the numbers on airport runways.
Yeah,
and you know why they're doing it, right?
Magnetic field?
Well, magnetic north just doesn't want to stay in the same place. And this guy
literally
has a business. He travels the country changes the numbers on. And so if they change the numbers on the runway, don't they have to change all the flight charts and all of that? All at the same. Man, it must be a total mess trying to keep all that straight. I'm not a pilot.
Yep. Someone made a comment the other day on one of the other shows on RBM that the magnetosphere, that's the Earth's magnetic field, might collapse in the future for a couple of days. And that gentleman suggested that we have Faraday cages, but I'm here to tell you that those Faraday cages will not stop the high-energy protons and antiprotons, cosmic rays, that is, and the solar wind. A Faraday cage will do you no good. So, I don't know if he's listening, but if the magnetic field is very critical to life on Earth, very critical. So,
and the magnetic field has moved over 23 degrees over the last 6 years.
Okay, I believe that.
That process began in September of 2009, and I was actually able to move to measure that, and I have spent 2.5 years trying to get that measurement, but it didn't happen till it came out till September of 2011, and bingo, it's when magnetic north started flowing back and forth, and we got to 5 degrees away from true north, and then after that it just got bigger, and you know, I said, well, it's doing what it said. The Earth will reel and fro, and that is the process that's going on.
I had to do that experiment in physics class 50 years ago. We used flip coils to measure the direction of the magnetic field. I don't know, they must have a better way of doing it now, but
I just use my compass. I use three different compasses.
Yeah.
Anyway, James, I want to move on. Okay. We've got Kelly has been patiently holding.
Okay.
Stay there, Doc.
Bye now. All right.
Bye-bye. Hello, Doc. Kelly, are you there?
Yeah. Thank you so much. It was not just random that I called in about the same time, but I wanted to thank you. And I did a bunch of homework, and I'll get to that in just a second. But I wanted to comment that in my study Bible, it was referenced how Napoleon was able to defeat the Turks in the same manner wherein Sisera's army was defeated with all their iron chariots in the floods and in the mud. And super fascinating that Napoleon was able to utilize the wisdom and the strategy, and it was great to hear you men have that conversation. And just wanted to thank you. I did do some homework. Being a member of the choir, it was really, just a quick jab to, to know that what I have been taught and told in these 50-some years, I needed to review it. And so I was able to find a handful of songs in each of these hymnals and went through and marked them and made sure they didn't have the, the distracting words going on. So thank you for that.
All right. Can I ask you a question, Doc?
Sure. Go ahead.
Do you know anybody that has convened grand juries that's not a member of the American Bar Association or some kind of judge or something like that? Do you know anybody that's ever convened grand juries? Just a regular guy?
I'll think about that. And, yes, there was a great book called The Fourth Hidden Branch, A Corrupt Government's Worst Nightmare, subtitle, by Kelly Z. Mordecai. And he talked about the different types. You have a special federal for somebody like Blagojevich, who was the senator selling Barack's seat, yada, yada. That man also poisoned the prisoners with soy, thereby chemically castrating the men in their prison system, and Blagojevich meaning. And there are different types. And I served on what is just a regular county grand jury on the in the county, Nevada, California state. It's in the Constitution, Article 1, Section 23, Penal Code 888-934. And so I'd love to study up your work and learn more about what you've done.
Well, that's why I'm bringing it up a little bit, because I've never met or read about anybody besides me that has convened a grand jury unless I was an attorney. Okay? I've done that twice. Okay? Now, do you know anybody that has also served on a jury as a jury foreman in criminal cases?
No, but I would love the opportunity, because the most important thing that I found in the instructions was the electronic communication devices prohibition for your privacy, your safety, and your health. And I've seen cell phones in the jury deliberation rooms, iPads, laptops, little bunny ears. I guess it might have been a stingray or some sort of wireless transmitter receiver, and, you know, the televisions without any integrity. And I think that would be an immense service and help to grand juries and regular juries, present and future.
Okay.
But
what about, do you know anybody that's done jury selection in a rather quite large case, that's done the jury selection, that's not an attorney and had veto rights over his attorneys?
No, but that's the wonderful power of man and mankind and being a prosecutor rather than somebody with a title of a lesser degree, such as an attorney or, somebody that's just a member of the bar. So,
well, anyway, I just wanted to mention those three things because I've done all three of them, okay? And all of them were written up in newspapers. Okay, and coverage on TV and everything. So, you know, you can verify that stuff.
Cool.
There's a lot to our law that most people have no clue about. They have no idea. They're good guys, good gals, but they have no idea of the intricacies of what's involved in a jury. And I do take exception to many, if not most, of all the grand juries that are formed, because grand juries were formed to hear one case originally, not to be there for months at a time. The same people being indoctrinated by the same prosecuting attorney and developing a close relationship over the course of months and years and so forth. And, you know, that's not the way it was set up in this country. You're supposed to have 12 new jurors with a couple backups, you know, if somebody gets sick. And they're over, they're done, and now we get in some more people and get them doing it. It's not supposed to be just one elite group doing this on a grand jury.
Yeah, you're exactly correct, Jerry. And the cool thing is, in the state of California, since Article 1, Section 23 governs this, Los Angeles County, being with 10 million people in the population, they have a 23-member grand jury, meaning the regular grand jury, and then they seat a criminal grand jury on a monthly basis because of all of the corruption. And I think in a perfect world, we'd be seating a grand jury on a weekly basis that was refreshed to deal with all the corruption until things are flushed out. We need the California Rangers, just like you've got the Texas Rangers, and running the show until things are cleaned up due to the just, you know, horrific levels of communism, corruption, illegal aliens occupying offices of the public trust. It's, Oh, dude, and it's the National Day of Prayer. I wanted to run that by you. And it's the six-month anniversary of when we lost John Stadtmiller, and it's just really odd. I was crashed into on the day that John Stadtmiller went to eternity, and this being the six-month, you know, it's just it's pretty amazing, you know. A good time to be alive. And just would you comment on a wise way to spend the National Day of Prayer, seeing that we're such a mess?
I would have nothing to do with that particular day, nor would I have anything to do with Halloween, Christmas, or any of the other pagan things. It's an abomination for this country to say that it has national prayer. It's a complete abomination. And I would never join in prayer with people praying for this country. This country is the absolute pit of corruption that exists on the planet. And I don't pray for this country. I pray for the good individuals that are going to go through the tribulations that are starting. They've already started heavy, okay? And
yeah.
They're going
it's
to be
It's almost
attacked.
As if this is the great tribulation, wherein the tribulation was what we kind of went through during, you know, the Obama era, seemed like, you know, a lot weaker than it is now. But thank you so much, Jerry, for your work.
All right, thanks, Doc.
Hey, Doc Kelly, this is Rodney. Can I have a word with you for a second?
Oh, please do. Yeah.
Well, Doc Kelly, you don't know me, but, you know, I've been a listener to RBN since Ron Paul's first attempt. But anyhow, you know, I was aware of when you came on the scene, RBN, and your subject matter. I already knew Jerry. And, Doc Carley, I'm the one that attempted to send you a fax on your voice line. That fax was a letter of introduction to you about Jerry. So I'm glad, and I'm tickled to death, you guys have finally made a connection. And there's a great deal to learn from Jerry, Doc Carley, as only probably you can. So anyhow, you can stick around if you want, but go ahead, Jerry. Where are we going?
Oh,
right on. Thanks, Rodney.
Break.
Yeah, I'll stick around for a little bit and make sure you got my P.O. box and whatnot.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Creatures looking brave and strong, whistling past the graveyard, nothing can go wrong. Quoting from the scriptures with patriotic tears, we got the same old men with the same old fears. Standing at attention, wrapped in stars and stripes, to hear the phantom drummer
disturb the sound of silence. Said I'll turn us now. Silence like a cancer grows. Hear my words and I'm alive with you. Take my arms and I'm alive with you. Let my words like silent treadrops fade. And echo in the wails of silence, and the people bowed
and prayed. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we're back for the short segment of the second hour. I'm not sure if Doc Kelly and Rodney are still communicating or not. What's going on, guys?
Yeah, I'm back here. Want to hopefully get info, you know, off air if it's private, and be in touch with you. And Jerry, thank you so much again for your focus on the important parts and pointing us to, you know, the having reverence and respect for the Father and his laws. The way that, you know, an innocent youngster will start a prayer with Heavenly Father, dearest Heavenly Father. And thank you so much again for doing that and drawing, you know, his people to do this, you know, to do this work. And thank you again.
All right. You have a great day, young lady.
Thank you much. You too.
Okay. Rodney, I want to touch base on one more item before we, you know, join up into something else. I want to read something to y'all, ladies and gentlemen. If you do not get this, if you do not work on this, you will not have a prayer. You have to study this. It's very simple. The book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 2. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them to be liars. If you have not figured out who the lying apostles are, you're going to have a real hard problem. Because all the manure that has been thrown on you as Christians and whatever other religion that you say you've got, it has all come from the number one chief false apostle, who's a giant. His genealogy unequivocally ties him to Canaanites, all the way back, his entire genealogy. And he is the one that they built the Catholic Church around. And then they built the other Christian religions around. This has been going on for a long time. This isn't like, oh, gee whiz, four or five years ago they switched all this. We can track this down. This is very difficult to track down. But if you haven't discovered the big bad apostle, you're in trouble. Now, I also want to clarify something. Rodney was talking about the book of Enoch. Enoch was one of the witnesses. And there's two on the planet at all times. The last time that I have been able to find the names of the two witnesses were John and James. And if you'll read your good book, you'll see that the only begotten Son takes each of them by their head, pulls them up to his chest. Of course, the Bible says his breast. Yeah, that's a nice thing to say, his breast. Takes them up to his chest. He holds them there. And the other 10 apostles are getting upset. And the only begotten Son says, what does it matter to you if these two tarry here yet a little while longer? So, Enoch was one of those witnesses, and there were others that you can find. Now, I have not tracked every single one of them. No, I haven't been able to do that. But I've tracked enough of them to know that they're always here. And when they leave, if I happen to see them leave, i.e., when their dead bodies lie in the streets of Jerusalem for 3 days and three nights, and the entire world cheers and is celebrating that those two are dead. If I see that, that they're laying in the streets of Jerusalem, which actually, you know, you ought to call its real name, Jebus, and if I see that, that means I didn't make it this trip. And the two witnesses are out there right now watching all the garbage. They have to take notes. And they have to witness this. Well, if I see them dead in Jerusalem, what I'll be able to do is fall on the ground in a fetal position and whine and moan like a dog that's being beat with a steel rod. Because that means I didn't make it this trip. And by the same token, if you see that, you're going to have, and you're a good guy and you're a good gal, that means you're not going to make it this trip. Doesn't mean that you're not a good guy or a good gal. And a lot of people are wanting to persecute all the people that have taken these coronavirus shots that alter your DNA and your RNA. There are millions of good people, men and women, that have been conned into this. I'm not after persecuting them. I'm not after fighting them. As a matter of fact, I believe, I can't prove this at all, that they will be some of the most important support group that there is. They will know they're not making it this trip, but they might make it next trip. I want to go this trip. I don't want to have to do this again. This has been the worst experience of my life, and that is my entire life. All I have learned is that every leader that I have ever found has sold out. Every single one of them, every one of them that I've researched. By the way, in research, someone was mentioning Napoleon. Well, he sought to marry a certain woman, and that woman was married, and he forced a divorce on that woman, and then he married her. But before he married her, she had two children, and she got them the heck out of France, got them out of Europe. And that was my mom's genealogy, the Deland, that went to England eventually, because Napoleon was going to kill him. And, of course, his new wife, she always found a way to have a miscarriage, to take something to cause an abortion so there wouldn't be a child. So what did old Napoleon do to my relative? He murdered her because she wouldn't have his baby. Yeah, have I studied that area of France and Napoleon pretty heavy? I think so. So you have to figure out who the false apostles are. If you don't do that, you're not going to be able to bend yourself away. And when you learn who that is, I will respect you if you fall on the ground or fall at your bed and cry in your pillow, because that's what happened to me. And life was forever changed when I discovered the false apostle, the really bad giant guy, actually a giant, you know. Anyway, I'm not trying to be negative. This is actually wonderful stuff. We're entering into the greatest times that have happened in the last 24 or 25,000 years. This is the time when his people stand up and make themselves known, and they get the reward, not by grace. Grace means, hey, man, we got a free ticket. I didn't have to do nothing. Grace just did it. No, we're going to look. We're going to get our reward by our physical and mental abilities to resist the Canaanite. And that's my message. Now, the whole message is to get other people to learn this point. You actually have to do something. You just can't run your mouth. But you can run your mouth and say, hey, how about this? I'm not allowed to say that the only begotten Son's name is Jesus or the Christ. Tells you unequivocally in the book. Do not call me Jesus the Christ. And some people were so shocked about that they go, well, it just means that he didn't want them all to know his name. Well, why don't you, instead of being in shock, think about it? The only begotten Son spent an entire 3 years going public to show everybody what he was and what he could do. He wanted them to know his right name, his correct name, the only begotten Son.
Hey, Jerry.
He didn't want them to call him Jesus, you know. Anyway, was that you, Rodney?
Yeah, it was. Did not the Christ commend Peter? You know, when Christ asked the disciples the question, whom do the people say that I am? And they offered up everybody, well, they offered up the two or three top contenders like Isaiah or Elijah, you know, and then he said, well, whom do you say that I am? Did not Peter say, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God?
No, And what happens right after that? Doesn't the only begotten Son point out that he's going to deny the only begotten Son three times?
No, that's true, but he wasn't rebuked. I mean, at this point and in that context, was not Christ a title? He could have as easily said the anointed one or, you know what I mean? I mean, any other title for the forthcoming Messiah, you know, isn't in the use of the word Christ, isn't it?
All you have to do is go back and study the words. Jesus, Jebus. And if your name is Jesus, it means you're a Jebusite. Okay, you're a single individual. You're not part of the entire tribe. You're just a single, and you're a Jebus, J-E-B-U-S. And you're calling the only begotten Son the absolute worst on the planet, is what you're calling him. And, you know, the Catholic nuns, Catholic priests, the Catholic, I mean, indoctrinated people. When I read them that verse, they said, they couldn't explain it. Now, I didn't know about Jebus and Jesus at that time in second grade. But everybody, you're not supposed to. If his apostles can't tell anybody that he's Jesus or the Christ, what's he doing? Going around doing all this stuff in secret? No, he told you very clearly he's the only begotten Son. And, you know, so people have been misled, and that name Jesus was made up by that false apostle. One of his names was Saul, S-A-U-L. But where that name is given in the good book, if you look up, it means he's a Saulite. Saul stood head and shoulders above all men, and his genealogy is tied to Saul. The really bad guy that David, you know, overthrew. So, you know, history is what it is, and it's very difficult for people to get into the books as much as it takes. I mean, it's astounding what it takes to go run this stuff down. But you have to search it out, individuals. You have to decide what team you want to be on. I know what team I want to be on. Will I qualify to be on that team? I don't know. But I'll take fourth string as opposed to no string on that football team, or whatever team you want to call it. I'd prefer first string or second string. Third and fourth stringers don't get into much of the game. I like to be in the game and be involved. But I'll take whatever I get as long as I'm not here watching the two witnesses lie dead for 3 days and three nights in the streets of Jerusalem. Now, we're going to see that, ladies and gentlemen. That's not 30 years from now. This is going to happen rather quickly. Now, I don't have an exact time frame. I don't have an exact time frame on that. I think I'm close, but not close enough that I want to spit it out. This is critical. This is not trying to sell you some kind of product that's going to save your life. There is no product that you can buy that will save your life. It is your responsibilities and duties. Now, I will mention that on one of the morning shows of RBN, a lady called in, and I was really shocked to hear this. She said, you know, there's a guy that brought this up. I won't go into the names and everything. And this lady was talking about half a gram of gold. She kind of forgot about a mercury dime, but, you know, solid silver coin, and an Indian head penny. Now, I looked it up just for the heck of it, and instead of $65 for a gram, it's now in the $70 to $80 range. Now, I'm talking about the ones that are certified and got a serial number. I'm not talking about something you buy that's loose. You can buy them for $20-$30 less and probably getting fake. Well, if you were to take and do an experiment, take some gold and grind it till it's nothing but a powder, do the same thing with some silver, do the same thing with some copper, and take just a little bit, very, very small amount of that powder, anyone, pick either one, any one of the three, and drop it on a virus or drop it on a fungus. See what happens. The copper, the silver, the gold kills all of those items. In addition, which the lady kind of mentioned that stuff, in addition, we are a chemical, electrical, functioning body, if you want to use that term. And the electrical, these minute particles of gold and silver and copper, which those are the best transmitters of electric, gold being the best, now go and locate in various places of your brain and your nervous system. And now you're having the items that the Father wants you to use to keep your body healthy. The last cold that I can remember, or flu, that I can remember in my life occurred to me in 1984. And I got pretty sick. You know, I mean, for me, being pretty sick. And after 2 or 3 days, I said, the heck with this. I'm getting out there and putting on just a pair of shorts, and I'm going to work hard until I go through this. And it was a rough day and a half. But after that, you know, I started studying more. And I said, look at this. Copper gets rid of viruses and funguses. And then I found it in the good book that the, you know, gold and silver and copper are to be used. Now, I don't sell gold or silver or copper. You may, ladies and gentlemen, go out and, yeah, you're going to spend, it was $65, now it's in the $75 range, and put it in your tea kettle. Every time you have some tea or coffee, every time you need some water to measure out a cup or two, pour it out of your tea kettle, and you're getting these minute particles. If I wanted to sound fancy, I could say nanoparticles. That's one of the first things you can do, and within a short period of time, your mind is actually going to start clicking a little bit better and a little faster just by something like that. Amazing. As a matter of fact, I don't sell this stuff. I don't sell it. Okay? So it's up to you, the individual. Now, once you learn something, you can't just sit on it. Now, you can just sit on it, and there's two verses in the Bible about, okay, this one guy, he's did all this, that, and the other, and he just keeps his mouth shut. It says he will be considered the least in heaven. And then you got this other guy, and he gets out there, and he learns this stuff, and he goes out and shares it with this buddy here, and this girl here, and this, and he shares it with people, and he gets resistance, but he shares it with people. It says, then, about that individual, he shall be called the greatest in heaven. But that's misleading. I said least and greatest. The least in that batch and the greatest in that batch. Obviously, they're not the greatest, greater than the Father, His only begotten Son, the Archangel Michael. They're not the greater than that. Of that batch, they're the greatest. So you've got a choice. And there's going to be some that are going to sit tight because they're going to say, I don't want to have to do all that, you know, but I'm not eating the bad foods. I'm doing the proper seventh appointed day. And the seventh appointed day occurs and begins exactly at 12 noon on Thursday. And it ends exactly at 12 noon on Friday. Now, that's not what anybody that I know is using for their seventh appointed day. Well, there's got to be others out there that know that. I've measured it. I know for a fact it's there. I don't have one millionth of hesitation of saying what I'm telling you. And boy, can it throw your schedule into a loop. Because now you can't do manual labor Thursday at noon to Friday at noon. Wow. Now, if you got a job and you go to your employer and say, hey, man, I can't work Thursdays and Fridays, but I work Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. That's going to cause a problem, isn't it? I don't have that problem because I don't have a job. But you've got to keep that seventh appointed day. And that's one of the keys that's going to happen. And you're going to pay a penalty in our world because you're either going to lose your job or you're valuable enough that they'll say, okay, we'll just let you work Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesdays. Well, then you can go out there and find another job on Saturday and Sundays. if that's what you need to do. Okay? And is that going to cause a lot of confusion, a lot of consternation, and on in anybody's household that has to go through that? Yeah, it sure is. A ton. And I'm sympathetic. But each of us must stand up. We must learn. And we must share it with our brothers and sisters. The only reason I'm on RBN is to share it with my good brothers and sisters who I've never met face to face, who I have never heard their voice, and even those that have never heard my voice. That's why I do this. And I question my performance every single time I do a show on RBN. Why can't I get more out? Because I'm fighting all the time not to give more out, because it's so much. I'm sympathetic, but I am not going to say I forgive everybody. Absolutely not. The Canaanites will get what they deserve. And we are past any way of pulling the irons out of the fire. That should be obvious to anybody that listens to any of the shows on RBN. I mean, there's some good hosts that point out, daily information that they hunt down. I don't know how some of them do it. You know, Mike, I'm not trying to be to make Mike Rivero into some kind of hero, but Mike gets in there and I wonder how many hours he spends finding up various current headlines to share with people. It's amazing. And other guests tried to, other hosts do this, trying to inform the RBN listeners. I suggest the time is, yes, to study, but it's time to get your butts in gear. Quit eating the foods that you're not allowed to eat. It's very simple. Now, when I say it's very simple, yeah, you got to learn you can't eat marshmallows and Jell-O. They've got pork in them. But you get step by step by step, and you'll learn what to eat, what to drink, what not to have. Now, me, a little conversation comes up about the fact that Jerry Kirk doesn't use a cell phone. Jerry Kirk doesn't use a handheld phone to his ear. Now, I would suggest that I might be able to get a plug-in microphone, and it might help my voice or something on the phone, but actually, the people I talk to on the phone, I don't have problems with. But I'd buy a microphone if there's a plug-in on here. But I will not stick a cell phone up to my brain. I have been studying the electrical impulses into a human brain for decades. You don't want electricity going up into, holding it right up against your temple. Right there by your ear, which has nothing but a couple little bitty bones inside it, nothing to stop that coming in and blasting your brain. Wow. Now there's a bunch of billionaires saying, he's telling us not to use a cell phone. I unfortunately had to use one for about 4 or 5 months, but I never ever put it up to my ear. I always used the speakerphone. Never put it up to my ear. Refuse to do that. Won't do that to myself. And when you look at the various studies that I've looked at Vanderbilt Teaching Hospital, the effects of electricity on a brain, my God, it's like sitting in a mini electric chair. Very mini, small one that whacks you. Little bit, time after time after time. Think about that. Do you really want a cell phone that's activated all the time so all the bad guys know exactly where you are? Because if you got a cell phone, smartphone, the bad guys know exactly where you are at all the time. Think about that. Now, myself, I like my system a lot better. If somebody wants to call me, they can leave a message on my phone. I don't stop in the middle of doing a job. I watch, I don't know how many people. They'll be working. and the phone will ring, and they'll pick that phone up right then and answer. Now, that's one thing. But when I'm standing there talking with an individual, having a nice conversation, and their phone rings, and they, wait a minute, I got to take this call. Oh, there, you know automatically that they're more important than being polite and following proper decorum for us to have our conversation. Most people don't even think of that. That what you're doing is you're being very impolite to whoever you're standing there talking to. I consider that. I would not want to do that. I don't like it when people do it to me. You reap what you sow. Remember that verse in the good book? You reap what you sow. So if you're sowing electric to everybody else, including yourself, into your brain, how's that going to help you? I mean, wouldn't you like to reap something that was good, like some good asparagus, nice potatoes, nice tomatoes? That's the kind of stuff I'd like to reap, good food. So I guess I've kind of gotten on my high horse a little bit, and it's not really a high horse. I want the good guys to wake up, and you're not going to wake up if you think you can learn this and not turn around and share it with other people. You must do that. This process is underway right now. Maybe I've contributed 1/10,000th of a percentage point to this, but it's going to happen. You're going to watch it. You're going to smile. At the same time, you're going to say, man, I hope I'm a lot tougher than I thought I was. And you're not going to be calling the Father God, and you're not going to be calling His only begotten Son Jesus or Jebus or Jebusite. You're going to be calling Him what He says, His only begotten Son. And you'll be calling the Father in heaven. And when you make that mistake, like I still at times make that mistake, I go, ugh, what's the matter with you? I try to correct myself. And when you have to correct yourself sometimes in a day when you're working and you smack your finger and you've done this and that, and you go, oh, God. Okay. And you have to correct yourself 3 or 4 times a day. That's not wasted. It's building you to get stronger. You don't get out and do 1 push-up and then the next day get down and do 100 push-ups. It takes time. But there's a limited amount of time. I thank you for your time. And Rodney, are you still there after me going on? I thought you'd interrupt me 10 minutes ago. Are you still there? Or did you take a hiatus? Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, it's kind of late to say, would anybody like to call in? And whenever I get to this particular level, when I'm discussing with people, it mostly shuts everybody up. I'm not asking you to do anything wrong. I'm asking you to do what the Father's law says. Not one jot nor one tittle and shall no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Here's another one right above it. Think not that I have come to destroy the law, or the prophets. That also could be used as a terminology. The witnesses. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Now, the only begotten Son, He never, ever, ever fails. Did you know that? Every single thing that He does is exactly correct. He never fails. Because He does the Father's will exactly. So, you've got to learn, who do you want to follow? The only begotten Son? Or do you want to follow that apostle that was a giant, whose first name that was, the first time his name was given in the book was Malchus. I just shortened it to Malchus, because in one book it spells it that way. And then you go on, you find out he's got another 5 or 6 names. And isn't that great? Wouldn't it be great if I had like seven or eight different names? That way I could go incognito everywhere. That's not the way it's done. It's done out in the open. You have to stand for the only begotten Son. You have to stand beyond the Father's army. And that's what you got to do. And you're going to run into all kinds of heat from all kinds of people. Oh, no, we're under grace. We're under grace. We don't have to do any of that law garbage no more. We can eat whatever we want. We can do whatever we want. We can let every steer and queer run loco all over our cities, our towns, our country, our land. And what is the punishment for being an abomination? It clearly says that if a man lieth with another man, like he does with a woman, that is an abomination. What is the penalty for abomination? I'm not going to tell you. But do you think that they're supposed to be here? Have you found any civilization that for over 100 years, that civilization allowed and encouraged steers and queers? Did every single one of those civilizations, when they allowed that abomination, did every one of those governments and civilizations, did they not fail? Do your history. Do your study. We are rampant with all kinds of problems. The last thing I want to mention, and I've done this more than once, you really need to get on TV to watch the Quest show. And the particular one is Hardcore Pawn, P-A-N-N, not porn. And you need to watch that. I watch it two or three times a week because it reinforces to me, hey, guess what? Those idiots that are doing this stuff that is beyond belief, they vote in our elections. They are the ones that receive the $300 to $500 by the boys, and they get their cash, and they sign up for their absentee ballots. And of course, if they're not registered, they take them down and get them registered. And that is what is running our country right now. All kinds of absolute idiots that are voting. And if you think that you can get this country straightened back out by talking, good luck. Have another thing of cotton candy. Have two or three. That stuff's just so wonderful for you. Have a dozen of cotton candy. Make yourself happy. I thank you for your time. I apologize to Rodney because apparently I talk too much and he decided not to jump in. I never know where I'm going on a radio show. I do know that I'm looking forward to my left eye being able to work next week so that I can do some more reading and studying better. I still only have one eye that's working correctly. I'm not complaining. It's just the way it is. Okay. I thank the listeners of RBN. I have never been a fundraiser of any success after I got past 5 to 10 years of age. And I was really good at fundraising at those times, but on RBN, I'm a flat failure of raising money. I would certainly hope that you would consider sending in $10, $15, $20 to RBN to keep the doors and the windows open and to pay the board ops. Someone's got to pay for this, and it's pay to play, and due to some injuries I've had, I'm going to be out in the open. It's going to be 2 more weeks before I can donate anything to RBN. It's just the way it is. I live on a budget, and I'm not going to break that budget just because I had some injuries. I'm not going to do that. Maybe I'm hypocritical. You might say, well, he put off for 3 weeks. Well, yeah, I did. And that's the way it is. And, sorry, but I'm not sorry. Thank you for your time.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.